Welcome to the Athenaeum Review podcast. I'm Ben Lima, and our guest today is Michelle Hanlon, who's Associate Dean for the Arts and Clinical Professor at UT Dallas. She's a dancer and choreographer and has been very active with dance on the screen, as well as performing and working with dance companies and performing her work nationally as well as internationally. And she kindly agreed to be our guest today to discuss the transition that has been ongoing at UT Dallas in the School of Arts and Humanities to transition the both events and teaching to online. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Ben.
I guess we could start maybe by just asking if there might be an example of an especially kind of successful event or transition that comes to your mind as something that went off especially well.
Yes, in the teaching area, first let me give you a little bit of a background. Things when we first went to social distancing and then to the shelter in place order, all of that happened kind of quickly within a span. So we were responding to first moving things online, solving the social distancing, but perhaps maybe being able to come on campus to record things. And then that option disappeared and we were working with shelter in place. So the faculty has gone through this amazing process of problem solving, having to completely recreate their solutions and solve problems over and over again, which they have done a remarkable job at really well. So I think the example that comes to mind as a really good demonstration of this is our figure drawing classes. Yes, we were first planning when we first went fully online, the plan was to have the models come into the studio and be videotaped with the instructor giving instruction. And of course, they would be clothed figure models are usually not, but in this case, they would be, as right. It would be videotaped and broadcast.
Right.
And then very quickly during the planning stages of that process, I think it was the day of or the day before the first videotaping was going to occur, the order came out to shelter in place. So everyone had to completely rethink what they were, how they were going to manage this and still give the students an experience that was valuable and a good learning experience. And I think the solution that they came up with was pretty brilliant. The models are producing photographs of themselves in poses as directed by the figure drawing instructors. And those are being presented to the students with the instruction happening live of the instructor during the class.
Wow.
Yeah, so that sort of represents this cycling around, this two-step kind of solution as everything was in flux.
It seems like everyone must be kind of having to learn a different style of kind of attention and concentration, you know, with everything being in kind of contained in this little screen. It seems like it's a huge challenge, but it sounds like that went off fairly smoothly.
I think so. I think it's been a big challenge for the faculty for sure and the students as well. You know, speaking from the perspective of instructor, because I still have a class, my students have been remarkably flexible and interested in trying to help facilitate how things go.
Yeah.
For instance, I'm teaching this semester a conditioning class, and I at first was wondering how it could possibly work to do this without a studio, to do this in a way where I could lead the students in real time through exercises. But we tried this week our first Blackboard Collaborate session live, and it went pretty well. The students were receptive. Most of them were present. I think another thing that professors are listening to their students and adapting their classes for is the students, some lack the technology that they need to do synchronous. Some, there's one lit class that I just learned of today where two-thirds of the students work in grocery stores. So they're kind of frontline workers, right?
Wow, yeah.
And their schedules have, they're being asked to work a lot, so their schedules have really expanded. So professors in those situations are doing synchronous sessions, but recording them, not unlike you and I are doing right here, and making them available to those students who can't be there live.
I was just thinking about how in certain fields where kind of all of the work product is kind of already on a page or a screen, that's one thing. But you know, with performance being so embodied and physical, I was curious whether I know that you in your work up till now have worked with screens and video and so forth, and I'm curious whether the experience that you had already kind of helped prepare you for what's going on at the moment.
Well, maybe a little bit, but you know, really, because of what I'm teaching this semester, it's pretty straightforward. Although, can I share with you a story that I heard from another university?
Yes.
A dance program at another university.
Yeah.
Dance choreography, a dance choreography class done through Blackboard Collaborate. Well, in this case, the two instructors from two separate institutions brought their classes together. And yeah, it was kind of cool, in one Blackboard Collaborate session, and mixed them up and sent them off in trios. So students were mixed with students from different universities. And they were given an assignment to create a dance. And so this class came up with something like 20 trios, which they then posted online. And I thought that was a pretty brilliant solution. So people are being creative out there. And right here in our own space, people are being creative too. We have, I think one of the most difficult challenges was music ensembles in particular. And the music ensemble instructors are problem solving well too. They have many of those classes, not all of them, have accompanists that play piano along with the ensemble. They're having the accompanists record and send out parts for the students to play along with so that they can keep their chops up and remain in shape. And then they're sending in recordings of themselves playing. We have private lesson instructors on the instruments who are conducting private lessons over WebEx.
Wow. Yeah. I guess the kind of the whole thing about being synchronized is pretty the kind of psychological aspect of it is huge. That actually reminded me. I would imagine. This kind of experience that we're all going through now simultaneously, and this kind of adjustment. I wonder if the kind of people who are creating creative works must be somehow incorporating some of this experience, that the kind of strange combination of being isolated but also connected digitally. I can imagine that some future creative works might be incorporating this experience into it.
I think you're right about that. I think we're going to be forever changed in the way we look at creating our art, but also in the way we look at teaching.
I think
people are really rethinking what it means to communicate in every way, in person and online. And I think this will find its way into everything we do.
Yeah. I wanted to also be sure to touch on you. We were talking a second ago about the the virtual events that have already been set up and already going on and are already, they've already been very successful. I wondered if there might be an example of one of those events that you thought went particularly successfully or wanted to tell us about.
I can tell you about two.
Yeah, even better.
I'll tell you about three, but really briefly the first one. When this all sort of happened, when it all came down, we were about to go into concert with our dance ensemble, and we had a guest resident, which was Dallas Black Dance Theater. We sort of compromised. We went ahead and ran the first night of the concert and videotaped it and streamed it, and then projected the video for the rest of the run of the concert. And that was kind of exciting and new and a good solution. But then after that, we were fully separate, unable to gather. And we had a concert upcoming. We had one of our accompanists named Mikhail Bereznev. He's an excellent pianist. Mm-hmm. And he presented a concert that streamed. And we streamed it on Facebook and on YouTube the night that it was live. Mm-hmm. As of the last time I looked, which was a few days ago, on YouTube, it had over 400 views, close to 500. So that's still out there. It's available through our virtual events page. So that one did well and is continuing to do well. And then our photography professor, Marilyn Wallagor, curated a show called Light Waves. And many of the participants in the show, the exhibitors, are alumna and alumni. Mm-hmm. And they've created a virtual gallery that is just beautiful. And that's online as well. And in addition to that, they held three artist talks that happened live and were streamed at the time, but they're available also recorded online. So you have access to that entire event.
And for anyone who's listening, we should be sure to mention that the virtual events page, where you can find out about all of this and see some of these things firsthand, is utdallas.edu/ah/events/virtual-events.html, or I think you can Google virtual events UT Dallas and it'll show up. But I was just looking at that page and it's already quite rich. Let me just ask if for anyone who might be listening and like people who are in the process of kind of making this transition and figuring it out, if you based on what you've already been able to do and so forth, if you had any little bits of advice or wisdom that you think people should keep in mind if they're having trouble or struggling.
Well, you know what? I think don't give up, because things aren't perfect, especially for the types of events like music and the types of classes like music where sound quality is really important. So the faculty is not giving up on trying to find ways to work with the system to get the best quality possible. And I think that's really key, is just keep looking for better solutions. I don't think anyone expected this. And I anticipate that the people are having the same problems across the nation and the world. So those out there who are innovators in this area will have things to work on and to improve. And I think we'll see improvements in this technology moving forward. I'm hopeful of that anyway. But I do want to tell you about one more event. Professor Fred Turner and Zhuji Osvath did a wonderful translation of Faust, which was going to be one of our really big events for the 50th anniversary. Well, it still is. It's being transformed into a radio play, and it's in rehearsals right now. And it'll be accompanied by a website that lays out the work being done behind the scenes and the special work that went into this. So please be watching the virtual events page for that upcoming in April.
Fantastic. That reminded me of, I guess, last year when the same two translators, their book of Goethe's poetry that came out, and they had that event that was just really mind blowing. They're so brilliant. So good. Thank you for mentioning that. And I assume I haven't checked today, but I guess everything that's on the virtual events page is going out through the social media and all that too. So it would be probably people can get it that way, I'm sure. Good. Well, this is the Athenaeum Review podcast, and our guest today has been Michelle Hanlon, who is Associate Dean for the Arts and Faculty of the School of Arts and Humanities at UT Dallas. And thank you very much for having this conversation today.
Thank you, Ben.
Okay. And you can find out more at athenaeumreview.org. And...